Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, Serial Data, and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I've got Chris Frangiola coming in here any second to talk about a crazy weekend and everything that's happened in pop culture. But first, I just want to give you my thoughts on all the shit that's gone down with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And there's a lot, baby. And you better believe we're going to talk about it. Whoosh. All right. That was an Erica melding into Elisa Renna, in case you didn't notice. Let's get into this. This is a fabulous drunk drawn photo. You know I love this person. And it's Kathy leading a conga line. And you're probably wondering, why is that? Well, for those of you that may not know exactly what I'm talking about, this is worth listening to, even if you do not watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because there's so many juicy layers that involve siblings and sisters and Hollywood and jealousy and success and reality TV and all of it. Okay. Kathy Hilton and the girls, the entire cast except for Garcelle and Cherie, I think all went to Caribou Club, which is a private dining club. No cameras are allowed. So none of the producers even decided to weasel their way in and, you know, maybe record on a phone. So we have no actual recording of what happened. However, a couple of the girls, including Sutton, said Kathy was very upset because she wanted to do a conga line and nobody wanted to do the conga line. Nobody really was feeling the conga line, and that really upset Kathy Hilton. And she pointed at me and she said, "Then we have to leave. And if you don't leave with me right now, Sutton, you aren't my friend." Well, I wanted to join the Caribou Club. So, and then according to other people that have, you know, attested to this, the big thing is that Kathy was not only upset about the girls and doing the conga line, but then she wanted to hear her song and she went up to the DJ and allegedly said, "Play my best friend Michael Jackson's song, Billie Jean." And the DJ didn't, in which then she referred to him as an old effing derogatory word for a homophobic slur, DJ. Okay? That is what is alleged. At that point, according to Lisa Renna, said, "She's having a meltdown. I will leave with you. You girls get your credit card, get your coat, stay, whatever. I will be the good sister, friend, whatever, and take her." So just Lisa Renna and Kathy got in a Sprinter van with no recording devices. And that Sprinter van driver is being held, I don't know where, on Epstein Island. No, I don't know where he is, but no one is speaking, okay? Everyone's just like, "Can we have one other person besides Lisa Renna tell us what was said?" And we will never, ever get that for a number of reasons. According to Lisa Renna, in that Sprinter van, and then when they got back to Kyle's house, in which there were only two there, Kathy went on a full-blown rant where she was using very problematic words to describe people. And then also that she said she was very angry at Kyle. And she said, "I've made Kyle. I will take Kyle and her family down if it's the last thing I do," according to Lisa Renna. And she broke her glasses and she was pounding. And Lisa Renna was locked inside of her room, texting Erica and Diane Jenkins, the boringest lip-smacking chick that's ever lived, about how horrible it was. In which they were writing her back being like, "Oh my God, I don't believe it. You were being so nice by taking Kathy home." So the next day, Kathy stays in her room. She doesn't leave. They all go on the private jet without her. And Kyle's there with Mauricio. And she says, "I don't know. You know, it's crazy because my four daughters never fight. They don't have jealousy issues. But my sisters and I did. We would physically scratch and hurt each other." Okay, so now this is where I find the whole sister dynamic interesting. You know, we always hear about Big Kathy. That's the mom of them. She was married four times. She had multiple husbands. They have different dads. And she was quite the social climber. And she lived, you know, a life that has been spoken about as pretty controversial as far as people have said. She was always telling her daughters, marry these rich men, have as many babies with them as possible. Kim Richards has been married three or four times, has four different baby daddies. Each one was richer than the next. And I'm talking Davis money, Hilton money, the richest, like, old money that you could find in L.A. Kathy Hilton knew who their eligible sons were and was making it happen for her daughters. So the question is, did Big Kathy breed jealousy among her daughters? I don't mean to blame a parent, but I do think it's interesting when you're raised in a family where there's jealousy as siblings. I was a product of that. And my kids so far have displayed no jealousy amongst each other. I don't know if that's my doing. I don't know if that was our own personalities. I don't know if it's because we were raised in, 40 years ago, like, you know, Kathy and Kyle were raised. I don't know why Kyle's daughters aren't jealous of each other and why my kids aren't, but we were both raised similarly. So similar dynamics with some of our siblings. So I find that really interesting. What is the jealousy between these three sisters and why? So I'm reading everything, and Bravo fans are saying, well, it's, you know, Kyle wouldn't have ever been in this position if it wasn't for Paris Hilton, Kathy Hilton's daughter. We saw Kyle, besides small glimpses in acting, which she did not have a name as an actress, when she was like on a documentary or an E! Special about Paris. That is where she kind of came on people's radar. And then, of course, she got on Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, in which Kathy didn't. To this day, I'm not 100% sure if Kathy was asked to go along with Kim and Kyle or if they thought three sisters would dominate the cast and they chose not to have Kathy, or if Kathy chose not to do it. But a year later, she joined Paris in a one-season bomb on Oxygen called World According to Paris, in which they took on their new best friend, Brooke Mueller, who was Charlie Sheen's drug addicted, 21 times to rehab, going through a ton of drug addiction, mother of his twin boys. She was featured on that show as Kathy's good friend who Kathy was trying to save. Very weird. The show lasted one season. Cut to now, she's on the show. She's a fan favorite. Everyone loves her hunky-dory, as if she doesn't know what hunky-dory is. People like this persona. So a lot of people are Team Kathy in this. They don't trust Lisa Rinna's account of it all. Well, then enter L.A. super attorney Marty Singer, who allegedly is representing Kathy in this mess. The next day, or that night, Kathy texts Lisa Rinna and was like, silence is golden. I'm not saying anything. I appreciate, you know, she doesn't even say don't say anything. She just says silence is golden. I'm not saying anything and you don't either. Lisa's like, I don't know what to do. Now, what's really interesting is the day after this blow up in Aspen, according to people that researched Kyle's Instagram, Kyle posted a photo of she and Lisa Rinna in Aspen. Lisa's wearing the Balenciaga cloak that she wore the whole time. And Kyle wrote, oh, you better believe we're going to talk about it. Now, was that just, let me come up with a funny saying, or was that she and Lisa Rinna had a conversation about her sister Kathy's horrible behavior, and Kyle has given the go-ahead to one of the members of the Fab Force Five, like she gave the bat signal, Lisa Rinna, go off, release the info to the world about how awful my sister can be. And then Lisa Rinna's like, I got you, Fab Five sister, I got you. And now that it's all these months later, and we know that the reunion happened, and all the gossip from the reunion is that Kyle protected her sister Kathy in all of this and seems to have left Lisa Rinna out in the cold. And Lisa Rinna not having a sister because her sister passed of drug addiction, and also they were had quite a large age difference, might not really understand how weird this sister dynamic is. Kyle, being the youngest, she wants to make good. Her daughter's getting married. She does. The kids are all so close. She want as someone that would get in fights with my sister. Growing up, my sister had children first, and I'd be like, Christmas is around the corner. Let me suck it up. Even though there's verbal abuse and mean things, let me suck it up, because otherwise Christmas isn't going to be fun without my nieces and nephew. So I understand that mentality and then put it on a global scale of the TV show. But when Kathy says, I'm going to take Kyle down and her family, I think it was brewing up. And I don't think this is about television. I think this is about real estate. When Kyle divorced her first rich husband and fell in love with Mauricio, they lived in a small apartment and took their real estate test together. And then Mauricio started working for Hilton Highland, Kathy Hilton, Rick Hilton's company, okay? And did quite well. And that's where what he was doing when the show of Beverly Hills Real House came on. As you know, a couple years later, he went off by himself to do the agency, and it has far surpassed Hilton and Highland as a real estate firm. And now Kathy and her daughters and Mauricio are going to have their own Netflix reality real estate show, which is going to put those daughters on the map, much like Paris did with The Simple Life. So I think there's some of that that's happening. And then, much like dysfunctional families, a couple days later, Kathy shows up to Crystal's Great Gatsby party, acting like nothing happened. She trusts she's fine with Lisa Rinna. She thinks there's nothing happened. In my opinion, it was after this party at Crystal's that then the cease and desist letters came from Marty Singer to the girls saying, do not talk about this anymore. Also, patrons at the Caribou Club apparently did witness this outburst by Kathy and did tell people of the media. But before they could share it, they were allegedly, they were given legal papers saying, you know, not to talk about it, or an NDA or whatever. And that's why, because I'm like, where are the witnesses? Where is the person that drove the Sprinter van? I'm sure he had to sign something because he was probably working for Bravo. Or did he receive one from Marty Singer? Listen, if I got something from Marty Singer, Marty, if you're listening to this, I am just repeating what I'm told and it's all alleged. Don't come after me. But it's also kind of scary that people are so scared now to speak, because if someone has a really powerful attorney, even if you're in the right, you're like, shit, now here's a big show. And again, allegedly the girls have not seen the last three episodes, that Marty Singer and other attorneys are poring over the episodes. And that even if the girls said something to back up Lisa Rinna's account and their own account that makes Kathy Hilton look bad, that people are believing that that's being cut out of the current episodes that we're seeing in their interviews. And it probably most likely will be cut out of the reunion that we witness. Meanwhile, Kyle just wants to have a nice wedding with her sister. And so it's very frustrating, I think, for the fans and for everybody that's on the cast of like, what's going to happen. And then other final thought, because I'm playing all the different sides. Other big fans of Kathy feel that this whole thing was exaggerated and put out by Lisa Rinna, who is part of the Fab Five Force or whatever it's called, with Erica to divert attention from Erica's poor behavior on the trip, where she's like, I don't give a fuck about anybody. It's my earrings and I'm the only victim I care about. So they feel that this was a planned attack to divert the attention from Erica. Let's have a new villain, you know. And the fact also that Kathy makes a lot of money, didn't have to film the first half of the show. We never see her husband, Rick Hilton. He's completely protected by this. He never goes to any parties. You know, that I'm adding. I've not heard one person mention Rick Hilton, but it is kind of interesting that he doesn't have to go to anything and is never featured. I mean, I think most wives would like to have that clause to say, I don't need to feature my husband. God forbid he says the wrong thing or is rude to me, like Tom was to Erica. Remember, he's like, Erica, I'm talking, which she brings up later. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Anyway, so there you go. So, you know, what was that the case? It's so juicy. It's so good. Erica is featured in next. There was a sneak preview on Wednesday's show in which she has no makeup and is doing Zoom therapy. And the therapist brings up how awful Tom was, which luckily we do have video of that. And he was an old crotchety man that definitely shot her down, told her to not interrupt him. And there definitely was not an equal balance at all in that relationship. And not surprising, she married him when she was 26 or met him when she was 26 or something. And he was like in his late 50s and he was already super rich. So that was never going to be an equal marriage anyway. And we see their dynamic on the show. So in this therapy session, she's trying to garner sympathy from the viewers at home. She's now playing to the viewers. People also think she was playing to the viewers when they were making the chocolate with Dorit in the last episode, that she was getting this information out when she said, sometimes the people who are the most powerful have the most to hide, meaning Kathy Hilton. So, like, how planned out is this stuff? Also, Kyle saw a therapist, and Kyle on her stories this weekend posted, my therapist said, I don't think you have social anxiety. I think you're surrounded by the wrong people. And that really hit me. The entire time you think it's you, it may just be that the people around you are toxic or do not align with you. Be very, very careful who you let in. So she's letting everyone know, I see a therapist, and my therapist says, it's not me, it's them. This is also could be a hint that maybe she's not going to come back next season either, and she's going to focus on her Netflix show with her family. And this could be, she could be saying maybe Lisa Rinna started this thing that's caused my life more turmoil than I wanted. Or she could be pointing at her sister or everybody in general around her. I don't know. Also, I just saw a clip. I don't know if it's mentioned in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Maybe that's coming on Wednesday. Or if Kathy Hilton shared this moment with E, because E was showing it. But it is now Kathy Hilton sitting down with a therapist who brings up her mother and how her mother was controlling, meaning Big Kathy, and also brings Kathy Hilton says, I didn't watch Paris's documentary about her going to the horrible schools where she was abused. I don't want to see it. So again, she's revealing, I had a fucked up childhood. I might react, and according to this clinical therapist, I might have a right to react that way. Again, audience that I'm sharing my therapy session. I mean, therapy is supposed to be really one-on-one and private, but I guess if you're on a reality show, let me show the therapist. Like, a lot of people, once they're no longer relevant, they go on a therapy tour, and they write all about their therapy in their latest book, and they go, that's why I was an asshole. This therapist said, it's because I had this sad thing happen to me when I was a child. So you can love me now. If you hated me last year, you should love me because I want to remind you, I didn't have a perfect childhood. Nobody's had a perfect childhood. Doesn't give you a reason to be an asshole as a full-blown, working, functioning adult in Hollywood. That's my opinion. Okay, now let's bring on Chris Frangiola to get into the latest. Hello, and we are back with our favorite, Chris Frangiola. Coming off a hot weekend together.
Yeah. I feel like we've spent a lot of time together. When I walked in today, were you like, all right, we've seen enough of you for a couple of days?
No, because I never feel like that, but I think it's very obvious that you do.
No, I don't. We spent a lot of time together.
Okay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You mentioned real estate potential.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, surprisingly, you know, we kind of are interested in this one house near me. And I said,
near, it's across the street.
No, you found one in my area.
Oh, yes. Right.
And I said, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple, like one, it's not directly across the street. It's three, it's down three.
Okay.
But I can walk to my mailbox and I could see you at your mailbox. Okay.
Yeah.
If you were to buy it. And I said, another one's coming up. And that seemed to really shut down the whole discussion. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. Like, I get it. Like, I mean, I lived next door to my mother, and I neither of us abused that situation.
Right.
And she was my real mother.
Yeah,
so I don't know why you think I'm going to just be like coming over with Barbies
I'm
every
not.
Day to play with Beckett.
I'm
and
not.
If I did do that, you'd be blessed.
Right.
So,
I'm not. I'm protecting all of us, I think. I'm protecting you from me, Peter from me. You know, I think it would be a lot.
Okay.
How much do you talk to the people in your neighborhood? Like, you know, do you go over to their house?
The neighbors that are moving have been there like 1 or 2 years longer than we have. So we're like their whole kid's childhood.
Yeah.
Okay. And we always enjoyed them. There were times in our lives where we were a little more social with them, like when the kids were little. Then there was a big chunk where we really would only just see them and chat with them once in a while. Always completely normal and delightful. Lately, we've hung out a little bit more because they've come on the boat.
Right.
Which I was a little bit like, shit, why didn't we spend more time with you guys? You're so fucking fun. You know, they're like boozers and fun.
Yeah.
And, but so far, no weirdness ever happened through all those years.
Well, that's good.
And the one time I really needed a neighbor, he was there, which was this time that I couldn't open the door and I had to get a flight. And he and his son like broke down the door for me.
Dude, but this is something that I don't know if I'd want to do. I don't know if I want to be. Now, what time of day was that? Was it like midnight?
Oh, yeah. It was like 10 at night on Halloween and I had to catch a red eye.
That's if I see you walking up my driveway, that's when I close the blinds. But I don't know if we can talk about this, but doesn't Whitney Cummings live kind of near you? And you
she
happened
does.
To spot her one time?
I chased her during COVID when everyone was riding bikes. She was basically Dorothy and I was the Wicked Witch chasing after her.
Okay.
So, and she acted like she didn't see me with her. And I think she might have even had a little dog in the basket.
And she I was did, but she admitted, I think, on a podcast dog. That she did see you.
She did see me and she said she acted like she didn't and she kept riding.
Okay. Oh.
So,
well, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
All right. Well, anyway.
Maybe we keep a healthy distance.
Yeah.
A solid
15-minute
drive.
It's been a good working relationship for many years. I don't want to ruin it by not opening your door at 10 p.m.
How was the travel experience with Annie and you and me and all of it? What is your thoughts on this weekend? Seattle and Portland, great crowds.
I have
Love
to
you
say
all.
This. Now that I have a little distance from it, the live shows are more fun than they've ever been. I think we've done them in Irvine before, and I feel like these were much better produced. They're more fun. I feel like you got it down now. I feel
Thank
like the audiences
you.
Were fun. I feel like they were really fun.
Yes. Good. Yeah. I'm so glad. I'm excited too. And the next one you asked me about, the next one is on, it's almost sold out. Literally, I don't even know how many, maybe we have like 20 seats left. That is October 15th. You're going to get all the juicy scoop.
Right.
So that is why I bring it up. And also I have Carlos King, who was a producer of Potomac and Atlanta. So very inside scoop.
Bravo related.
And he was on my show and you guys loved him. So that's October 15th. But then let's talk about Vegas. I want to make it clear, Chris Frangiola is coming. Even though yesterday he said, am I coming to that? I'm like, I've been telling everybody you're coming.
No. I was just making sure. I knew I was. It's in my calendar, but you'd kind of given me kind of like a half.
That's
invite.
Not true. Justin is coming.
Yeah.
100% he's coming. And Brandy and Julie, 100%.
Okay.
So I'm going to feature all of you guys individually, all of you together. It's going to be so freaking fun. And I think that one is very close to selling out too. And that's at the Venetian. So perfect, fun, great hotel to
Very
stay at.
Very excited about it.
Great
this.
Restaurants, great shopping, just like a really doable weekend.
Haven't been to Vegas in a long time. It's going to be like back in Vegas. It's very exciting.
And I'm going to plan some fun for us to do before and after.
Okay.
So
now here's where
now you
get into travel. Because there is a lot of planning of fun things to do.
Yes.
You guys, and I'm going to include Annie in this as well. You get to the airports a little late for me.
Okay, Dad.
Let's say the flight's at 10 a.m. And then you guys are like, what time should we get the Lyft or Uber? And you're like, oh, 9:45. And I'm like, whoa, that's a little close. Okay?
Right.
But I travel every weekend alone, so it's difficult. I have my quirks, as we all do, travel quirks.
Yes.
And you guys break all my travel quirks.
Oh, all right. Well, good to know.
But I love... You know, spending time with you.
Well, we did have a moment of a Titanic moment. If we were a family in the going down to the Titanic.
Yes.
So it the Portland airport was extremely crowded, long lines for TSA, like
so was
something
Seattle.
I've never seen. And yes, yeah, never seen that. Now you and I have the TSA pre-check.
Right.
Little Annie, who that just, you know, has become a full-blown adult, she doesn't have TSA pre-check. Okay.
Yeah.
And so one time it was getting close, Seattle, and that was close. And so I said to the guy, look, she's my daughter, and we're doing a show, and she's the producer of it. Can she come through TSA pre-check? And that guy let you do that, right?
Seattle was nice.
So now we do Portland, and I'm like, just get in the line. They're not going to turn you away once you get to the top, you know?
Right.
So we get there, and the Portland guy was not having it. He goes, either all three of you can go back to the general admission.
Which is a huge line.
And the two of you go ahead and leave this quote-unquote daughter to just fend for herself.
Right.
And I go, well, what's the other option? I go, well, could we go to the general admission but kind of cut in the line like here? And he goes, yes.
Right.
But there's still eight people ahead of us and we still have to take off our shoes. So, of course, I choose that. Wow. This was a moment. I felt a little Titanic-y. I also felt like if you and I were a couple.
I was the Billy Zane on the Titanic. I would punch a woman to get on the life raft.
You're like, no. And I go, we don't have a choice. We've already claimed that we're a family together. Uh-huh. So I can't let you just go do TSA. So now I'm like, now I felt like we were married.
Uh-huh.
Recently married. You're the mean stepdad.
It did feel like
it
that.
Means to, and you're, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Do I choose my daughter? Do I choose the guy that's giving it to me good? Because we've been having great sex for a few years.
Yeah.
But like, fuck.
Right.
Again, my daughter came first. Like, I had my daughter before you. Like, it was a big, and mostly because I think you had very stylist shoes on.
Well, that's because now
that were ties.
This.
They weren't your.
Because
slip
I never go through regular anymore. I've been a long time.
So now you've done full cue.
So I wouldn't have worn those had I known I was going to regular people.
The
TSA.
Commoners.
Yeah, the commoners. And I'm also about, like, traveling in groups is not necessarily my strong suit. And I believe when you're traveling in groups, once you get to the airport, at that point, it's every man for himself. Like, figure your shit out. And Annie is, I know she's young and whatever, but at that point, I was willing to let her. You know, if it were the Titanic, yes, I was willing to let her drown. I was moving on with my life. I've been doing this, and I was going to let both of you drown and keep my shoes on.
Well, Annie's mom, you told your mom what happened, and Annie's mother herself said,
yeah, I know.
Dad would have left us as well.
Yeah, so yeah.
Her parents
agreed with me. Yeah. They were like, I would have let her drown as well. It's every man for himself when it gets to group travel.
Anyway, we had fun.
One more thing.
Yes, please
We
go.
Have other ones coming up in November. Excited about those.
Yes, we do. And those are selling really, really well. Philly, Boston.
D.C.
And D.C.
Yeah.
And they're all selling really well. Those will be sold out for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll have a lot of fun there
now,
as well.
Now, when those happen,
yes.
I will be doing the Lyfts and the Ubers.
Okay.
Because I feel like, I don't know what it is about my phone. I feel like I see better than you seem to see your phone. Because sometimes... We were across the street from the Seattle airport. Across the street. Like, we could have walked
at the hotel.
Yes,
we absolutely could have.
And
Can I explain what I did? I put in...
Okay, now you guys know when you put in, you'll see a bunch of things that'll pop up. Alaska.
Well, yeah. Alaska Airlines are where we were going from Seattle to Portland.
Yeah.
And... what I should have done is just put the airport, and then oftentimes they go, okay, domestic, which one?
What is it? Yeah.
But I jumped the gun and just put Alaska in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get in the car, and we after about 15 minutes, we show up at the offices of the Alaska
training facility.
Yeah.
Like off campus. Like, and I, at one point we're driving, I'm like, why are we going to the airport? The guy goes, no, you're going to the Alaska training facility.
To the point where the Lyft then says, like, are you being raped and trafficked? Like, we've been noticing this trip is taking a little long, you know.
Are you okay?
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah.
Our guy was obviously great, and it was my fault.
Yeah. So anyway, from here on out, I'll be doing that. That's it, just for Boston and Philly and D.C.
I love it. Page 6, your girl... Say Emily, her name.
Emily Rentajewski. Rentajanowski.
They're calling them Bratajan. How are they saying this? Brat. Anyway, Brad and her are seeing each other.
Oh, Bratajowski.
Yes. Oh. According to Page Six, just out. Brad Pitt and Emily have been out a few times, sources confirm to Page Six. But are they officially dating? We don't know. Are they planning their podcast together? Possibly.
Wow.
Possibly.
I have to say, it is a good-looking couple. Let that happen.
George.
Yeah.
But he's a little old for her.
He is a little old.
How old? Yeah. Can you look up her age? And his, I want to say he's 30? At least like 58 now.
58, I think, yeah.
And I know he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Also, is it true he started his own skincare line, or did I dream that?
You did tell me that. I'm not sure.
He is a good.
Brad Pitt's 58 and she's 31.
58 and 31. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. Gorgeousness abound, but like, and I did read, I think, that he's doing a male skincare line.
Right.
Which I'm like, enough with these uber stars getting in the influencer game. Like, mm-hmm. Can we just have one fucking thing?
Yeah.
Like, Jen Aniston has her own hair care line. J-Lo has her own skincare line. Now he has his own skincare line. Like, Lady Gaga has her own makeup. Like, I'm just like, ugh, come on.
A lot of tequila. You guys had the cereal of the girl with the bows in her hair. Remember, didn't you get her cereal?
Oh, JoJo Siwa had cereal. You're right. Yeah,
and Brandon Drake told me it was pretty good.
Yeah, they loved it.
They got it at that store.
Bargain Market.
Yeah, you guys are eating it.
Grocery Outlet,
in Newport.
Bargain Market.
And Drake told me, you know what? We bought it as a joke, but not bad.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious, bows and all. Anyway, who knows? This was Juicy, came out on Us Weekly, that Kanye said, London, I know how you feel. He seemingly compared the death of Queen Elizabeth to the breakup of he and Kim. I don't know if he's saying that the world compares both those events similarly, or just he himself compares it similarly.
Or like that they are our royal family, like the Kardashians are our royal family, maybe. And, you know, that's...
This week, though, he did an interview with someone, a lot of clips of it, and he's coming off delightfully normal. This week.
I think he can be. I think it's just about, yeah.
Well, that's what
a meds thing.
That's what a mental situation is that you know, go ups and downs and go off and say, I don't need my meds, or I do need my meds, or I tried a new med, or whatever, or it's circumstantial. It's all of the above. So,
now, what is his beef that he seems to be having with Adidas and the Gap? And
I don't really understand it, but now he says he's going to open his own thing. And he said, and whoever they interviewed him said, Sway said, or somebody in an interview did a long time ago, why are you, pairing up with these clothing things. Why don't you just do them yourself? And then he goes, well, Sway was right, or whatever. Like, he was right. Now I'm going to do my own, and every item is only going to be $20.
Oh, really?
So I'm very confused why his Kanye sweatshirts were $300. Yeah. Why
his
the
shoes
ugly
are
shoes,
like,
the ugly, like, wannabe Crocs. I don't understand. I don't, and you're right. I don't understand why he's mad at Gap. You know, that they tried to hang up his clothes and he wanted them in garbage bags.
In
he said Gap overpriced, which, what?
Yeah, I'm the most expensive thing at Gap.
And mad at Adidas, Nike, everybody. I'm so confused and I just don't care.
So you're 20
right.
bucks.
That's the new thing.
Wow, I didn't know that. Is he going to open his own stores? Like, instead
I guess
H&M
now. This week, who knows
now,
what's
I'll
next
I'll
week.
Say this. I went into a Gap, I think it was here in Woodland Hill, that mall, that next mall. And they did have the big bag of stuff in the front. And I didn't know it was a Kanye thing at that point.
Yeah.
I just thought they were just like they hadn't unpacked it yet.
But nobody wants to work anymore.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But they were doing it right. They did do it the way he wanted it.
Okay,
just a
big
bag of T-shirts.
Go through it. Yeah. Okay, Meghan, according to Daily Mail, Meghan Markle said that she thought she'd be the Beyoncé of the UK when she married Harry. Now, I don't know if this is from that scandalous book about her or what, but, you know, there you go. Well, it didn't work out.
You mean like she'd be beloved?
Beloved, have her own beehive.
Yeah.
You know, the ego of it all. But
I mean, she really can't win, huh? I mean, it's everything she does is Is there any fans?
Yes, like there's a lot of people that like her that said she was very sweet when they met her going down the line, that she couldn't have been nicer. There's TikTok saying how nice she was.
Hugging some people. Yeah.
Yes. And then there's other people. Listen, I can see why they need to blame somebody, and they're not going to blame Harry.
Right.
That Harry left and no longer is an active prince and is living in America and is not, you know, best friends with his brother.
Yeah.
And as a mom of boys, if I was to die, that would be heartbreaking, that just like Diana, that my boys aren't close anymore. It's
right.
Like, so I think they want a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I mean,
that seems to be what it is.
Yeah. But also I think that she is very calculating, and there is a lot of truth to stuff that's in that scandalous book, and a lot of things where she, definitely pursued humanitarian efforts and all that stuff, but really didn't do anything because she had studied that's really how you meet the most elite people. And so I have not read the whole book, but I've read a lot of book reports on it, basically, that does sound pretty juicy. But as someone that knew her, worked with her, rolling knives and forks into a cloth napkin.
Yes. We had cloth napkins.
Yes, at Mirabelle.
Yeah.
You said she was not acting like a Beyoncé.
No, she was absolutely wonderful.
Right.
Almost too nice.
Okay.
It was like a party fun time on Sunset Boulevard at that time. And she was not that at all. She was not like a partier or anything.
So I think that you are a good person to be talking to say, hey, you know what
I know.
And I'm sure there's people that loved her from grammar school, liked her in college. There's probably a scorned boyfriend or a girl from college that didn't like her. I'm sure. I mean, who has a completely clean record? I guess the whole thing is, how calculating was she to marry Harry, act like she didn't know who he was, and asked, is he kind?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't know who Harry was. You had a blog about pop culture. You're in Hollywood. He was everywhere. And that she had books about Diana, and she was obsessed with Diana. There's so many people that when they meet there's so many famous people that then when they meet somebody else, they go, oh, and he never even knew about my show. That's a big deal, because they don't want to be with a fan. And so I think sometimes when you are pursuing someone who's famous, even though you know everything about them, maybe that's the way to get them to like you, to act like you're unfazed by their fame.
Right.
And maybe she did that a little bit. But I don't believe that you are a couple having two kids if you don't really love each other now.
I would just like to say, the last time we spoke was via Instagram back.
Oh, you and Megan.
Megan.
And how long ago was it?
This is when she still had a regular Meghan Markle Instagram when
okay.
she was on Suits. Or maybe not even on Suits yet. Maybe still Suitcase Girl on.
Right.
And I had written her in a DM, congratulations on, I think it was Suits.
Okay.
And she wrote me back and said, oh, you too. At that point, I think I had just done my first Chelsea Lately Roundtable. She's like, that's exciting too. Good job. We had both gotten out of the restaurant game and we were on our way. So,
well, there you go.
I'm just saying,
don't anybody say I hate Meghan Markle. I just said a nice thing about her.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, moving on. I just want to wrap up the Adam Levine. We're up to five or six girls now. I'm going to go through them, and then we'll talk about your thoughts. We were talking on the live shows. Did any of these girls actually meet him in person and have sex with him?
And we still haven't gotten a definitive
answer. Well, there's another brought out another DM from the original girl, Sumner, in which she writes, I go to Mexico this weekend, ha, ha, ha. Adam writes, nice. I need to go rub one out. Then my head will be clear. I often think about when you used to get me into that place where I literally would stare and drool and do whatever you told me. Ha, ha, he says. Delete this immediately. She says, I do too, meaning think about you. I don't even know how you did it. And then it got cut off. But so a lot of people would think that is referencing a time that they physically got together.
Right.
It could also be that he rubbed one out when they FaceTimed.
She got him to a place or whatever.
So that
now,
yes.
Can I say this? In all that, chatter they had back and forth. There was never like pictures sent back and forth. Like she doesn't have dick pics or anything like that.
No.
Or he doesn't have pictures of her.
No. So that, I think no matter what, it's really gross that he's like a chronic DMer.
Right.
But maybe they have an open relationship. Maybe she doesn't care. It's just humiliating to his wife that now the world knows that they're not this perfect couple and
right.
all of this. And it's just embarrassing. His DMing is gross. Like some of the embarrassing things. Oh, this guy compared his tattoos to the outside of a Chipotle bag, yeah. which really made us laugh. This girl, her name's Allison Rose. You know, her photo looks, and she said that there's another girl that said she got inappropriate stuff from a 17-year-old. He also used a really embarrassing emoji.
Yeah.
To like thumbs up himself. Mm-hmm. This girl says, shows her DMs in a TikTok, the Allison Rose saying, he says, I shouldn't be talking to you. You know that, right? So he knows she shouldn't be talking to her. She was young. I don't know if she was under 18. This other girl, really pretty brunette, dark, raven-haired girl, she's actually a stand-up comic, and she looks like a vixen with all her tattoos, which she'd probably like with his tattoos. They talked, which sounded it was flirty. This other girl was only 20 when he got into her DM. She's a fitness model.
Right.
He'd constantly DM her about, ooh, I see it's booty day. Oh, I see it's leg day, meaning she's working out. And she also said he would DM her at 10 at night, every night, and that he always watched her stories. Okay? That's
all right. It.
Then the final was his yoga instructor from 2007, in which he actually texted her and was like saying, you got a great ass, or I want to see you, or something. And then at the time, the yoga instructor's boyfriend saw it, and it caused a horrible fight that led to a domestic violence situation with the yoga instructor with her. So the yoga instructor was saying, the reason why people shouldn't be DMing or texting people that aren't in a consensual relationship with them is that their significant other, who might be a freak, might see that,
right.
or even not a freak, might cause issue, like unwanted flirty DMs
right.
and or unwanted flirty texts from guys can put the other person in a vulnerable position. Girls, too. Girls that constantly reach out. Like John, Sarah's John.
Yeah.
Whenever some girl DMs him, he immediately like shows Sarah to be like, this just came in. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like the same thing, girls. Like, don't do that because you like, so there you go with that.
Also, I feel like maybe just not on this podcast, but on many things, I feel like a lot of times when there's a situation like this or many of the situations we talk about, we always go to the maybe they have an open relationship.
Right.
Which I find, I don't know if, is that as prevalent as we seem to make it out to? Like, there's no, it's just not, I mean, like, I don't think this is an open relationship. I think Bahati is not, you know.
I think more of it is in certain relationships, especially where one person's super famous and maybe the wife is not.
Mm-hmm.
I think you go into that with a sports guy or a musician and you're like,
okay,
I'm not going to be stupid. Yeah. On occasion, is some chick going to come and blow him after a concert?
Right.
Probably. But we've talked, you're never going to have a baby with her. You're not going to fall in love with her. You're not going to continue on anything than a one night. Like, and I don't want to ever know about it.
Right.
So I think there's some of that.
Uh-huh.
Where it's and then when it gets revealed to the world, it's just embarrassing to you.
Yeah.
But you weren't that girl that was like thinking it could never happen in your marriage.
Right.
That's what I think it
is. Okay. There we go.
Bling Ring. Everyone's talking about it. This is the story of, they did a movie about it. It was Alexis Nyers. And this other guy, Nick, I was watching, it's a few episodes on Netflix. They are both featured and interviewed in it. I was watching it. I was very tired last night.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like falling asleep. So I have to finish it. But honestly, all I could think about, because they're showing them how much evidence they had on them going to these homes. So basically, this was 2006 or 7. This kid went to Calabasas High. He made friends with this other girl, Rachel. And it started out where they would just go around Calabasas and see if anyone's door was open and take whatever was in. A pair of sunglasses, a bag, cash, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they were like, let's go into someone's houses. And then they were like on MySpace. So they would follow people like Paris Hilton and see that she was out that night. They'd go to her house, find her house. They'd find a door that was open and they'd rob it. And that she was so disorganized and had so much that she either wouldn't notice or wouldn't report it. So they kept going back and like taking cash in her handbags and
yeah,
not big things. And as I'm watching it, and as this kid is, you know, now he's out and gay and thrilled and still a fame whore, I was like, if these kids weren't white, my fucking God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have not finished it. And I guess apparently the detectives were thirsty and their thirstiness fucked up the case for the prosecutors. And that's why this kid is out today.
Oh, really?
So I haven't gotten to that part yet. But I was just like, I can't believe that they broke in and stole. Like for Orlando Bloom, they stole all his Rolexes that were like, vintage.
30 grand, yeah.
And I don't know if maybe they gave it back and that helped their case or, but I was just like, oh my God, if that was, I felt it was very, like a very unfair situation. And then we, of course,
wasn't this one girl on E or something?
So this was the pretty wild show.
Yeah.
That Chelsea and Tom produced, and this girl, Amber, who was Chelsea's really good friend, who was a reality show producer, she was the producer of it, and they have Amber in the show.
Yeah.
And Amber's and her partner are, like, basically laughing about how they're like, we didn't know what this dumb show was going to be about, this pretty wild. And then, literally, the second day of filming, the cops knock on the door to arrest her because basically, Nick did all the stuff, but Nick would come to her and go, hey, here's some leftover stuff from Rachel Bison's house that we stole. And then according to Nick, he said, Alexis Nyers goes, well, let me go to the next one because I want first pick. I don't want the stuff that nobody else wants.
Right.
And it was that house, Orlando Bloom, that she took a couple bags and like a black sequins dress and stuff.
And they were. Did they know these people or they were targeting celebrities?
They were just targeting celebrities. Okay. And then at Alexis, then when they found out, then we were after them and they had surveillance of Nick and this girl Rachel, then Alexis called the LAPD and said, I know who that guy is. It's Nick, which was very dumb because then when they bring in Nick, he does a deal with a fancy attorney and goes, well, I'll tell you who the other girls are.
Right.
Alexis Dower being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like got immunity to, I don't know. I haven't finished it because it was confusing when it happened. It was confusing even when I was asking, because Alexis was in my show a couple years ago and I was asking her about it. And then she was said she was, you know, on drugs and everything. And, but then they admitted to redoing scenes. So they like reshot when the cops came to the door.
Right.
And that all that kind of stuff. And while they're asking about that, Amber's just like laughing.
Yeah.
And now she's just like laughing about the fakeness of the show.
Yeah.
And so,
But what did they break and enter or these doors were open? Like they.
Oh, no. They were. Paris's one time she did lock it and then they looked under the mat and there was a key.
Yeah, well,
so then they kept the key and then they could go back and do the key.
Really?
And not till like the fourth time did they steal something so significant that then she let the cops know.
Yeah.
They did Lindsay Lohan then, who was really freaked out by it, never like went back to her home. The Orlando Bloom was the one where they stole the most expensive of stuff.
Yeah.
And
Rachel Bilson.
Rachel Bilson and Audrina Patridge. Those were all the people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is a scripted show or it's an
documentary? No, they did a scripted movie about it that I don't think did that well. And this is a Netflix doc about it.
All right.
But yeah. And so then Alexis Nyers became a drug addict and then she got sober and married this guy she met at like an AA meeting and they owned these rehab places together.
Oh.
And then she said, we have an open relationship and I have a girlfriend and he's thrilled that I have a girlfriend.
Okay.
It's completely fine.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. And then they filed for divorce.
All right.
But then.
So she's lesbian now or?
Then she said, I'm bi. Then she goes, I'm full lesbian and we're getting divorced, but we're still going to be best friends. And then the latest one is she said, I'm lucky to have found a heart like yours, but it looks like the husband. But anyway, it's a guy. So I don't know if she now has a new guy.
Yeah.
Or it's the old husband.
Oh, so the guy's
but
back?
As you talk about the open relationship, it doesn't seem to work as well as monogamy and where people don't cheat. Those marriages seem to work better.
Yeah. If you have an open relationship, it doesn't end well. Unless if there's a person out there where it ended well, call me. But I don't think
I want to talk to someone who's like 78.
Right.
And who has consistently had an open relationship and neither party felt slighted or betrayed
at any time. They don't
throughout
exist.
The 55-year marriage, it was just delightful. They got to sleep with other people.
Yeah.
They kept their rules. They had a great sex life, and now they're 78, mm-hmm. and they still are together and happy, and they're still swinging and having fun.
It's all.
I want to speak to that person.
I know we've talked about this before, but it all becomes Indecent Proposal. You think it's going to be great, and then you eventually get weirded out when you realize Robert Redford's on top of your wife. That's the way, and you wind up with a hippo or some weird gin.
At the end, he gets her the hippo. Mm-hmm. Yes. You told me to watch this, and I absolutely loved it.
It's great.
On Hulu.
It's been around a while. It came out.
It's
a couple
been around
years
a while,
ago.
And maybe it's. I definitely think it's inside baseball as far as entertainment.
Yeah, very.
But like, I loved it so much. It's too funny to fail. And it was Dana Carvey had a sketch show that was following Home Improvement on
ABC.
And
he was like at that point he was the biggest star, like Saturday Night Live, he was huge.
Yes.
He was the church lady, and you know, he was the big star on Saturday Night Live. So when he left SNL, it was a big deal. Like, what's Dana Carvey gonna do now? He was, you know, Wayne Garth and all that. And he chose to do a sketch show on ABC, which it's amazing the people that wrote on it and worked on it. And it was Stephen Colbert and Stephen Carell and Louis C.K. and
Robert Schimmel.
Robert Smigel. So it's just – it's wild.
And it's just so funny to watch, and it's such an interesting time in television too to watch. And then Ted Harbert, who was our boss at E! He was the president.
He's
and he came from ABC before he was the president of E! And so I enjoyed seeing him.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, it's very interesting if you're like into, you know, how things work in television, and you know.
It is. It's very interesting.
It's very interesting. And it's funny.
Yeah. And they got all the people back to talk about it. And actually, you know, looking at some of the things they did, they were funny.
Yeah.
But like, it was on the broad. It was following Home Improvement.
And also, sometimes things are ahead of its time.
Yeah.
The comedy was ahead of its time, and it wasn't the right space for that comedy thrive.
Yeah.
And so, but then they also say, like, in the end, all the, in a weird way, the stuff that really led to the giant success of Steve Colbert and Steve Carell actually came from being on the show. So you got to watch the whole thing of like why everything happens for a reason and why it all worked out, even though this show didn't work out. The part I really loved is Steve Carell said, you know, this is back, you know, before the internet and stuff. And he goes, and there was so much hate about the show, but there was like 10 fan mail letters. So he goes to read one of them. And one was just like, and that one guy, Steve Carell, he really stands out. And he's just like a sketch player. This is like his first TV show. And it's just this beautiful letter about why I think he's going to go far and why his comedic timing is so great and everything. And then he noticed that the handwriting looked familiar. And I'm watching this and I'm just crying. And I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, so I called my mom.
Oh, my God.
And the mom had written the letter with a fake name. And I'm like, that is my mom. That's something I would do. It was just makes me love Steve Carell that much more. Like, it was amazing. So watch that one. I liked it.
It is really good. It's.
I want to talk about this because now I keep thinking about this and I have different opinions of it. This kid named Grayson Chance was discovered by Ellen. I guess maybe he sang a Lady Gaga song. He came on the show. Ellen always would like find these kids, finding kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's old and he says that she was manipulative, self-centered and blatantly opportunistic, and that she put him on a record label. But then she was very demanding, told him what to wear, what to say, what to do. And in one particular time, she said, oh, watch the Justin Bieber documentary since you're a young kid singer. And she's like, did you watch it yet? And he said, no, I hadn't. So then she called his mother and was screaming at his mother, being like, why am I working so hard if you guys aren't taking this career seriously? And right. She's so mean. And I kind of don't really know where this guy is. And so I kind of see both sides in that Ellen was trying to help this kid. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, Ellen's not a parent.
Right.
And I don't understand why television is always like thinks that's so – there's so many storylines and there's so many bad sitcoms that's like the person that's not a parent suddenly has to be around kids.
Right.
She probably does treat kids – she probably was this awful and she probably didn't think about the fact that she was talking to a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
And she is a selfish bitch. We know that. Right.
Yeah, I actually am surprised that she put this much energy into it.
Right.
You that know, she even like, cared, like, that she even cared enough to have him watch the Justin Bieber documentary. Not saying I don't.
Her plan was that she was going to be like, I'm the new Scooter Braun. This is my Justin.
Maybe.
And but maybe she felt like he was slacking and was like, all right, let's toss this business of making kids a star. Because remember she used to have Annie, do you remember? The two little English
girls.
Yeah, the two girls. She used to have those girls all the time. So she kind of, like, a big part of her show was, and it's a smart thing to do because your daytime TV with a bunch of parents at home is featuring these little kids.
Yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me that off camera, maybe she wasn't as lovely because she's not a lovely person and she's also not a parent.
Have you ever had any dealings with her along the way? Have you ever...
I never met her.
Never met her. I met Portia a couple times.
I met Portia too.
Yeah.
In a room where she was going to pitch something and I was pitching it. We're just like in the waiting room to pitch stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like so sweet.
Yeah.
Like
I'd
just
say the
completely
same thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've heard rumors that that's not necessarily the case, but she was to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I've never had any dealings with her at all. Never even met her.
Yeah.
Even in like in we're running in the same comedy circles, whatever. But yeah. So and I know people who worked on the show, of course.
And we know someone who worked on the show and she has a story, but at the same time, that person was fired.
Yeah.
So
I know.
I'm like, if you're fired and you wanted to stay on a show that you were fired from, chances are you're not gonna have a great perspective of the experience. So but a lot of people
when it all went down, you know, all the things we know about now.
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot of people coming to her aid. You know, there wasn't a lot of people like, yeah.
The only people coming to her aid were like the Jennifer Anistons who
Well they're not they're there for 10 minutes.
Well also they're on a different level.
Yeah.
They don't work for her. They love being on her show. They have fun dinners.
Yeah.
They're not her gardener. They're not the stage manager.
Right.
They're, you know, they
well,
don't
that's...
ever have to talk to her again and their career would still be great. So, of course, they're going to have a different
People always used to ask us about Chelsea Lately, you know,
right.
like who, what, you've, because everybody came on that show and we a lot of times would do work with them or deal with them. And people would always ask us who's an asshole. And we were, you know, like, I don't know, for the most part, people were pretty nice, but because they, it had to be, you know, they were guests on the show.
They're guests on a show and it's like a pretty easy, pleasant experience.
Right. Yeah.
It's like 2 hours out of your life. It's not like you were working with them alongside, you know, the steel mill.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, it's like.
Remember, like we had Russell Brand was like an issue, remember? Because he wanted an espresso or something and that was kind of a weird. Remember?
Russell Brand.
Wouldn't come out of his.
Wanted to do this hacky joke.
Well, that was something else. That was later.
Oh, okay.
When he was a guest on the show, he had specific needs about coffee or something. And we were we didn't upstart new show.
And he
was big at the time. That's when he was forgetting Sarah Marshall and he was
You about coffee that got me in trouble.
Uh-oh.
My first real job, my pilot of Lyricist Lounge.
Oh shit.
Where the entire pilot I was paid $1,200 for, and 5 of the 9 sketches I actually wrote, okay? And I was getting very tired because I was in a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we get you anything or something? And I go, and we're filming in Burbank. We're not in Mojave Desert or whatever.
Yeah.
In a major studio.
Uh-huh.
And I go, can I get like an iced triple shot espresso vanilla latte situation?
Right.
And they're like, yeah. And Tracy Ellis Ross comes up to me later. She goes, I just want to warn you, like, it doesn't look good that you asked for that latte, because I'm hearing them all talk about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, I thought they had people to, like, go get.
Right.
Because, you know, they came back with, like, well, we have coffee here that's been in that pot since 7 a.m. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. Like, I'm literally in 9 sketches and just, okay.
Right.
But, like, so it's scary because people will say whatever you want. I've been on the road.
I know.
I did Atlantis in the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
These are the things that haunt me at night.
Uh-huh.
We had the best fucking time.
Right.
My kids got to go, and then I got to perform like 2 nights in the casino. And the girl is like, I'm your person. Anything you want, anything you want. And I forgot my Duo eyelash glue for my lashes.
Oh, well, that's a big one.
I mean, looking back, I should have gone with a less lashed look.
Yeah.
Because I've never been asked back.
Well.
And Peter is a little convinced.
That was it.
Because I said, I just don't feel like myself. Like, I just want these, you know, I can't believe they can't find it. And then they brought, like, a different kind. I was like.
So you just needed the glue.
I needed the glue. But
this is also, like, an island in the Bahamas, right? It's not a 7-Eleven.
Right. But still, I guess it was more of a challenge. Yeah. And they never asked mm-hmm. me back again.
Okay.
So I am very scared to ever ask for anything.
Yeah.
Once I'm there. Very, very scared. Because I'm like, I just want to work again.
Not to go back to our Chelsea lady days, but I remember there was a lot of coffee issues. Remember, it's like, can we just get somebody? I mean, there's 1,000 people walking around here. Nobody could walk. And they were close. It was right
They
down.
Always acted like we were divas. Like, we're doing a TV show. Like,
I know. And we're like, we have to be here and write this. We were every day. So we got to have this shit done by 3 o'clock.
And we didn't ask for it all the time. We were just like, hey, you know, like if we had something special like at 3, we're like, do you think we could get some?
Yeah.
And then the same woman who complained about Ellen,
right.
Oh, she loved that we were asking for coffee.
We were
divas.
Yeah. The Starbucks was on the lot. It wasn't like they get in a car and drive. It was.
Oh, I was laughing so hard that I had the water go down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Tiffany Haddish's case has been dropped.
Yeah.
The person suing her dropped it and said it's weird because she was saying that she was abused during these inappropriate sketches that she filmed with Tiffany Haddish, along with her brother did it, and then Ari Spears, and now she said no, it, you know, Tiffany's been a friend of ours forever,
right,
and did the statement, nothing could have happened, though she's not making any other comments, she's not talking. And if you read the comments, logically, it seems like, why would you suddenly change your mind unless, and you don't have to, in a civil lawsuit, when you drop it, you are not financially obligated, or I mean, legally obligated to say, I'm dropping it because we made an agreement. You know, you could have met for lunch. And she could have said, I have a little package for you. I don't know how it worked, or with attorneys or whatever. I would think, even if attorneys are involved, it doesn't have to be disclosed to the public if there was some type of settlement made.
Right.
And it's my personal opinion, because I have a brain and I walk on this earth, that a settlement was made.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Tiffany Haddish is guilty. I don't blame her for doing it. I would do the same. I'd want this to go away.
Right.
It's interesting because in all of this, originally, they said that the people asked for $15,000 like years ago.
Yeah,
and she said no, and I'm like, my God, girl, if you would have just paid the $15,000, even if you were innocent, even if you were annoyed, like, look at the big picture. Because once this gets out, now she's going to have to fight this. And she was caught by TMZ, and she's like, I've lost everything: stand up gigs,
other
type of things. I know she's supposed to be in this movie, Haunted House,
right?
Like a
Disney movie.
A live action of Haunted House. And I don't know if they're going to cut her out of that.
Yeah.
Like, because of the kid element. And I know that she was doing the show, like, Kids Say the Darndest Things or whatever.
Yeah, that was like a big deal. ABC.
Big
like,
deal. Where, again, not a parent talking to kids. Oh, isn't that funny? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be allowed, but it's just kind of funny that entertainment, people always think that's like a funny dynamic. You know, like I said, like the aunt on a sitcom that's been partying her whole life and inherits three kids. That's so hilarious because you don't know what to do with them and you're inappropriate and awful.
Right.
It's just like weird kind of. Anyway.
It was a big plot point in like 80s movies.
Totally.
The pee-pee in the face. That was always a big laugh.
Oh.
They got the pee-pee in the face. Whether it be changing the diaper of a guy, boy or a girl, they pee-peed in their face. And it was a big laugh. Diane Keaton got pee-peed.
Pee-peed in the face when changing a male baby.
Yeah.
Jogging on a treadmill and being being distracted and going off a frame.
Yeah.
That's always a big one. God, the amount of times we've seen these bits.
There was a lot
falling out of frame, constantly out of frame.
Julia Roberts did a lot of like, went to sit on the bed in the hotel and fell. A lot of falling.
Getting a massage and having the camera shoot up from your face while you're in the crown.
That was a big one.
That's a big one.
That was it. Yeah, that's kind of gone
God,
now.
Come up with some original scenes.
That was a hot, funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like two people talking, getting massages, and they're talking back and forth. That
with the faces. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I came across this TikTok, and then I looked up that, you know, Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks have this kid named Chet Hanks who's really struggled. And I saw this TikTok that said he was at like an outdoor family-friendly event. It's a children's area about 50 meters away from the stage. So there are children just 50 meters away. And he was on the stage and he's just using foul language talking about no one knows what. His recovery, God. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for the Hanks.
I feel like they like this. I saw her post like a very nice thing about him on his birthday or whatever.
Well, he's still her son.
I know, but it was like one of those things where, I don't know, is this kind of an act he's doing? I kind of get that vibe that this is like a bit.
I think he's a kid who struggled and he's Tom's son with the first wife, Colin Hanks, is like exactly like Tom and is like married and working and clean cut and delight.
Are they,
and then you have this.
Is Colin Hanks not Rita Wilson's son?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, okay. But this is Rita Wilson's son.
Right.
Chet Hanks. Okay.
Anyway, he's a big nightmare. By the way, Tom Hanks is doing this movie Pinocchio.
Yeah, live action Pinocchio. It's very strange looking.
I mean, listen, you know, I just, if I was Tom Hanks, and I know he should ignore the rumors, the QAnon rumors about him.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe
right,
Pinocchio is not the movie to be in.
Well,
a guy who gets a boy, buys him, and then his nose grows big when he lies.
I don't think that's the plot of Pinocchio.
Yes,
it is.
He buys a doll that's a little boy.
Yeah, but
and then he wishes that he becomes a boy that he can raise, a young boy.
But Tom Hanks plays Geppetto, the guy who makes the doll.
But then doesn't Geppetto want him to become a real boy that he can play with?
Maybe, I don't know.
And then his nose grows, and then they go to an island.
That would be leaning into the weird QAnon conspiracy.
That's what I'm saying.
So, but that would be.
I think
that
I would have turned it down, just like the Tiffany Haddish. I would have paid.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Like I just be like, I don't know, because then didn't Pinocchio then end up in an island with a bunch of other little boys?
I honestly don't really know the Pinocchio story.
I just knew that it was about lying, and like my parents would be like, "Your nose
I know
is
the nose
growing.
Is growing.
Your nose is growing."
Because it grows so much that branches start coming off it, right? Because he's wooden.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that. And birds start landing on. Like, he was a filthy liar.
I don't know. It's weird.
And I heard it, but it's also live action and also, you know, animatronic, whatever. It looks strange.
It's a combo.
I
feel like some.
The island that they end up on is called the Sinful Pleasure Island.
The island they end up with all the little wooden boys that become real boys whose noses still grow for whatever you need a long nose for.
Yeah.
The Sinful
Pleasure Island.
Sinful Pleasure Island.
That sounds like a
Jeffrey
Epstein.
There's the thing. Yeah. There's certain fairy tales.
Yeah. Oh, they're all very
that maybe
creepy.
Don't need to be remade for 2022.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, I remember reading about the whole story of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
The real story was this guy was a pedophile and obsessed with this little girl named Alice. That's who wrote it.
Really?
Yes. So putting her through this torturous nightmare.
Yeah.
I remember reading the real book about it in high school, and something triggered this girl in our class, and she burst into tears. Wow. I don't know. There's just, it's weird. All that stuff is weird. So much of it, so many fairy tales are about torturing children. Oh, and taking them away from their parents.
Hansel and Gretel is like, it's real. Most of them are. Oh, the parents are dead. They die.
Yeah, they die. They take them away. People are mean to them. It's like awful.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're written in darker times.
It's time to maybe
make a cute one.
Yeah, I think go on. Neil Long is engaged to this guy. Tell the story.
He's the coach of the Celtics. And
so everyone loves him because the Celtics are a successful team. Nobody's
Boston
happy
Celtics,
that he was boning a staff member for a year.
Yes.
And therefore, they have to suspend him for a year.
Yes, he's been suspended for a year because I guess they, he can't fraternize among the, the people who work there. That's their thing. I don't know if he's suspended because he's engaged to Nia Long.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's even if he was a totally single guy,
right?
They have a problem with this. Unless they, it probably would have been fine if they started to date and then went to HR and said, hi, we're dating. But he wasn't going to do that because he had a fiance already, Nia Long, who had no clue, apparently. And then also this woman would, do his travel
her job for the team was to travel consultant or agent or whatever.
And so she also would do some stuff for Nia,
she
too.
Actually booked Nia Long's travel to Boston and back to L.A.
That's always just sad that you feel, deceived by someone you know. So we'll see. She's like, thank you for this time. We don't know what's going to happen. They make a gorgeous couple. But I think when an affair like that goes on for a year.
Yeah.
If you're Bahati and you want to stay with Adam, he's just never allowed on Instagram again.
Right.
But in this case, a year long thing, I don't think I would stick with him, Nia.
Yeah.
The outpouring of love and support for family and friends. Oh, okay, so people are nice and feel bad.
Yeah.
Now, this Brett, what did he do?
Well, from what I gather,
Brett Favre.
Brett
Favre, How do you say his name?
Just Favre. I think it's Favre.
Oh, Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre. he's had his issues along the way. Great football player. He's retired now. But from what I heard, they built a volleyball gymnasium on his daughter's campus with funds that were supposed to go to welfare community in that state. I'm not all that familiar with where it is, but that's what I had heard. $45 million they took from another fund that was supposed to go to poor people and built a volleyball.
Right, because she played
gym. On the campus.
Took it from
the
welfare fund. So that is very, very bad. That looks very entitled, very bad. So
and
not
it's looking
great
bad.
For him.
He's had his, he was the original dick pic guy. One of the very early ones. I don't know if you're familiar. She's a comedian now. Actually, very nice. Her name's Jen Sturger. That's the girl he sent it to. She was a sideline reporter at the time.
Oh, this is juicy history.
Yeah, you should
scoop.
Actually have her on the podcast. She's a nice girl.
Do you think she still has the photo?
You could see it. It's a flaccid dick pic, which was shocking back then. But this is early days. People didn't know. And he sent one.
Laying there.
He opened his pants up and went, look at this.
And it was just off to the side, looking sad.
Yeah, looking sad.
And then you said he had to fax it, right? Because it was.
Well, no, that was a joke. I mean, that wasn't that far. I think he had. It was still a phone that, this was very new.
You could still send a photo.
Yeah, very new.
So maybe 2007 or something.
Yeah, so he's had his issues along
the way. Not fun for him. Okay. Then, so he had his game. Okay.
Yes.
He had his game, and it said Brady was hopeful that his wife would attend that home game. His kids did, but Giselle didn't. And sources are saying, it has nothing to do with him going back to football. They still have – she hasn't gotten over the horrible fight they had when she left and took off for Brazil.
Yeah. When he announced he was going to return, he retired. Then he said – see, originally what Tom Brady did was he retired saying, I need to spend more time with my wife and kids. And then a month later, he said, I'm coming back. So people were like, I guess he was just like, I don't want to spend that much time with my wife and kids,
So. Right. And I still love the love that I get
from
the show.
Right, yeah.
On when Page Six just wrote this new article right before you came, where then you have to go and click and read the whole thing. They don't just tell you on the Instagram. And it was like, and it's the reasons that it's not what you think, you know, of why they're still not getting along. It has nothing to do with going back to football. And I said to Anna, I go, wouldn't it be great if I clicked on it and it's because he's struggling with his sexuality or struggling with his gender and he actually wants to become a woman? Like, I would actually like, but it's never that. It's like insiders say, you know, and they won't say anything more. Well, then don't write an article about it.
Right.
Give me some scoop or forget it. Mm-hmm. Waste my time. Speaking of...
Confirmed.
It's not Taylor Swift. It's Rihanna.
Yeah.
Great.
There was rumors of Taylor Swift. Now it's Rihanna. Halftime show.
Love it.
And people were excited because I guess the running joke about Rihanna is she never releases new music. That I didn't realize this, but I'm starting to see on Instagram and stuff. People are like...
I don't want to see new music.
Because I guess she released a bunch of... Like a clothing line and a ketchup?
She has the Fenty line, Fenty lingerie, that Erica Jane was a model for. And then I think that she stopped using Erica Jane during all the lawsuits.
So the joke is like she'll release anything but a new record. So I guess I don't know when her last album came out, but it's been a while. So people are excited that she's going to be doing a halftime show because like, oh, does this mean new music? But you're right. Nobody wants to see
I want to see Shine Bright Umbrella. Like a Diamond. Yeah. Shine Bright Like a Diamond. I want to see it. I'm happy. I will love that show. I know you're tired of Britney, but I have to read something to you that has been since deleted.
Oh, I'm up to hear everything.
She goes off, starts the whole thing. 14 years, all this stuff. It's been 8 hours, day seven. I couldn't have a coffee. I couldn't have a car. All the stuff that she talks about. I couldn't walk outside. Would they do this to J-Lo? No, they wouldn't. And then I just want to read you this part. She said, really? 14 years later, after being humiliated, it's way too late for that. Again, I'd rather stay home and shit in my fucking pool than join the entertainment business. The truth is a fucking bitch. I'm not going to play the victim. Hit me, baby, one more time? I'm sure you advanced musicians think it's horrible of bad. But when I'm bad, I'm better. Fuck you. So that was up for not long.
What does it all mean?
Well, apparently there's a turd floating in her pool.
I know. I feel like shitting in your own pool, that just gets you, you're going to be swimming in
I mean,
talk shit in J-Lo's pool.
Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your own face.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't ever, like, how's that going to benefit you?
I know.
There's a turd shitting in your own pool.
Uh-huh.
I also think it's really weird when people bring up shit like that.
Bring up shitting?
Yeah. Like a lot. I think it's a bad sign for mental health.
Yeah. Because there is a weird...
Because it's like a visual. Like, immediately everyone gets a visual of, like, a turd floating in a pool. Like...
Yes, sure.
Now, and Sam has to come around with the scooper.
Yeah, with the net. Yeah. The funny thing is, I did not have a visual until you said everyone has a visual. Now I have a visual. I got a visual of...
And then he's like, what did you do, Brittany? And she's just like, I shit in my own pool to let the world know that I'd rather do that than go back to singing songs. He's like, oh, my God.
But Mike, what does this have to do with J-Lo?
What's your prediction? Why is J-Lo she just mentioned that this would never have happened to J-Lo.
Or because she's a...
No, I think because J-Lo has a normal fucking family. Yeah, that's why it wouldn't have happened. Right. Also, J-Lo didn't act like you did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, J-Lo has nothing.
J-Lo has one glass of champagne a year and like never stops working. So, no. But I don't know. I feel badly, obviously, about it. But thank you for the people that catch these and send them to me before she deletes them.
I don't even know what the advanced musician, but I've done trying to figure it out.
You're done. I know you're done.
Because you and I talked about it on the lives.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Come to the lives, people. It's a lot.
We talk about more than we talk about.
We throw some juice out.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I'm saying that it. I don't feel we're not going to get a definitive answer here with Britney Spears, whether it was all conservatorship and now she's going to be perfectly normal. We're just not going to get any answers. It's going to be weird things like this that come weird spinning around in an old house that we've.
Do you think your prediction? What's your prediction of Sam? Where is Sam in 5 years, her husband?
Well, I mean, I would make a prediction that I think he's somehow, she's going to turn on him too. Like I'm not saying she turned on the father, you know.
Right.
I don't know what's going on here.
No.
But I say she eventually, he's, I believe, somehow manipulative as well. And that's based on nothing. He seems like a nice guy, but something's up there.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in saying that?
No, there's something weird, and I think you're right. And I give it 19 and a half months from now.
To that is what? Over?
Or a massive split of some sort.
Yeah.
Of a split that the public will be made aware of.
Like, I'm not saying nothing against him or Britney
She's
Spears.
Writing it down. Annie's writing it down.
I'm saying that if he was a true, caring husband, which he may be, I don't know. I feel like these type of things would not happen. He'd be we all know she's got some sort of mental issues. I mean,
it doesn't happen though. It does get removed.
I know, but some of them don't.
Right, but I don't think like he knows he can't say you can't have the phone.
Why not?
Because then she's going to feel controlled again, and this is her one thing that she loves. Most he can do is probably have the password, and then someone texts him and goes, "Hey, she just did something really weird," and then he goes and removes it. That's what I think happens.
Right.
But he can't be on it every second and can't be watching her every second.
Yeah.
So the Kardashians, queens of making lemonade out of lemons.
Right.
Tristan, the show aired on Thursday, and everybody loves it. Loved it. And this is this new guy that she was seen with in Fashion Week. He's an Italian model named, what's his name? Michelle Marone. So weird that a guy has a name named Michelle. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he's Italian. So he's
pretty, and people are doing TikToks that like Tyler Henry, when he read her years ago, he said, "Oh, stay away from a guy named M." He also said that everything would be fine with her basketball playing boyfriend, who is Tristan. So I don't think Tyler Henry should be for the love advice. But anyway, what was interesting about it is that now we see her have the baby. We still don't know what the name is.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing was she reveals that Tristan and her were, you know, pursuing a surrogate and an egg transfer. And she has concrete evidence that he knew that this other girl was having his third baby when he didn't share that news with Chloe and acted like everything was hunky-dory, in the words of Kathy Hilton, and went ahead with the egg transfer. And she would have liked to have had the option to, like, maybe put a pin in it or take a minute or whatever. And so that was the part where the real deception happened. And but she cried, and she had the baby. And
so what is this Michelle Marone? They say they're...
She went to Milan Fashion Week, and they've been seen together hanging out.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
good. So people like that. And then in between, she dated some investment banker while her surrogate was pregnant, and that ended. So everyone's just really hopeful that she will just never romantically have any hope for Tristan. It's really sad, though, because she was madly in love with Tristan, and the world was very happy when she was pregnant with her first child, True.
Yeah.
And right when she went into labor is when we saw him with girls and at the nightclub and everything.
Right.
And then she still let him come there for the birth.
Okay.
And then this time, though, the surrogate's having the baby, you know, again, he deceived her and everything, but then she still let him come and be there the day the baby was born. So she just hasn't had a great birthing experience.
No,
but
no.
That's why some people just need to just whatever.
Well,
so we'll see if she finds a love. So, Chris, once again, tell everybody where you can be seen, besides with me.
With you,
next
Vegas.
At the Vegas. Yeah. And on the East Coast. What's your next show?
Back up Spokane Comedy Club up in Spokane, Washington, back up there October 6th, 7th, and 8th. And
around the corner.
Yeah, and then I go to Cleveland. Cleveland, the hilarities in Cleveland, October 14th and 15th. That's where I'll be. Frangiola.fun. I got so many cities coming up.
And everyone loves you.
Batavia, Illinois, new club.
Batavia. Okay, great.
I believe
Sounds
I'm pronouncing
fun.
That correctly.
When's that?
That is in November.
Okay.
Juicy Scoop, 22nd in Vegas.
Yes.
Very excited about
October 22nd with me in Vegas. And then second week, I think, of November is when we do the East Coast.
Now, not to put you on the spot for the live Juicy Scoop in Vegas, but
who's
it's going to be.
Yeah.
No. Oh. And not even, I don't care about that. You people can make your own judgments on that when it happens. And I think, whatever. Listen. Okay. You're going to come out. Ladies and gentlemen,
Henry
McDonald.
We're not going to tell the whole show.
All right, but
I might to change my mind.
All right,
like, up until
fair
that
enough.
Point.
But I'm
that's
saying
why it's very improvisational. Not improvisational. It's also improvisational, but it's also I changed the the order of things every week.
It's very fun.
Annie is in my hotel like 2 hours before the show, and we're adding topics and changing stuff. So it's very topical.
Okay.
Yes.
I sat in the back because you make me leave the stage while you talk about the Housewives.
God, why do you
No, I like it.
Okay,
I'm good with it. But
right.
I went to the back of the stage to watch in Portland, and it's very entertaining. And I'm not even that familiar with the Housewives, and I was
entertained. Thank you. God, Chris, just when I thought our friendship might have ended over TSA.
Over Annie's lack of pre-check. TSA.
Yeah, and just not respecting our child.
No.
It all worked out. Justin also believes that he is a surrogate father on the road, too. But you are definitely more dad mode all the way.
Thank you. Yes.
He always sits in the front with the driver. And I go, there's room for us in the back.
I know.
He's like, I'm okay. That's a real dad move.
Is it?
That is such a dad move that you sit with the driver.
Yeah. Want to make sure everything's up to snuff up here. Yeah. All right. Well, I enjoy
always it. Takes my bag, puts the thing up. Very gentlemanly.
Yeah,
I like
you.
It. Yes.
I helped Annie's grandmother with her bags.
Oh, yeah. We got to meet Annie's grandmother this weekend.
I got to meet her twice, a lot.
Lucky. She's
she
adorable.
She sat in the lobby with me.
She drove us back from the show
she
to
did,
the hotel.
Yeah, we took, yeah, which is another thing. We're, you know.
And then we went up to her room, and she said, just come up to our room. I know you're tired from the show, but I have some wine. And we took it. We filled our glasses.
I did.
And we
I
all went it. Back to our own rooms, and it was fabulous.
It was
I just
fabulous.
Had my wine and my room.
Like, we went to bed early. We were up and all exciting stuff. Come out on the road.
So fun
stuff going on.
And then, of course, Cover to Cover is Chris's
Cover to Cover is my podcast.
Follow him online. He is very funny.
Come
on
over and
Instagram.
Listen to it. Cover to Cover every Thursday.
Love you, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye.